Morning, today's daf in Shabbos Samech Ches. We begin this morning with the seventh parak of the Masechta. This parak really ushers us into a new point in the Masechta, almost so to say the basics in the beginnings. The basics in the beginnings in the Talmud throughout the Mishnah and throughout the Gemara is not necessarily in the beginning. We find this throughout Shas, where the most basic information is not presented first, but rather somewhat peripheral information is presented, and then the most basic information is presented at a later point in time. Here we are now, 68 dapim into the Masechta, a little bit less than halfway through the Masechta, and now we're going to be discovering and encountering some of the most basic information as it relates to the definition of a malacha. What is a malacha? What are the malachos? When is a person going to be liable for violating a malacha? So that's going to be introduced over here in this seventh parak. We get to the Mishnah 9 Gimel a couple days from now, so we're going to be introduced to the 39 malachos. This Mishnah over here that we're going to be starting with today, so that's going to introduce us to the basic idea of when a person is going to be chayv achatas for violating the malacha of Shabbos. So, admittedly, this parak really could have come in earlier, but that's just simply the way that Gemara works. We started off the first six parakim of the Masechta, going over the Malach of Hotza'ah, talking about Erev Shabbos, various preparations for Shabbos, the parak of Kira, Hatmana, what a person can wear, what animals can wear. So those were the topics in the beginning of the first part of the Masechta, but now here we are in the seventh parak. We start now the Mishnah on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Klal Gadol Amar B'Shabbos, they said a big rule as it relates to Shabbos. And now the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is going to do, it's going to give us three different categories in terms of when a person is going to be chayav a karban chatos for violating one Shabbos, multiple Shabbos, one malacha, multiple malachos. And we're going to break it down to three categories. Before we start with the Mishnah, some of the most basic information that I'm sure we're all familiar with, but just to get us all properly oriented. When it comes to violating Shabbos, so Shabbos, of course, is an Isser Gam, it's an Isser Chamor. It's the most serious Isser in the Torah. It's one of the 36, it's not a precise number, but that's the way the Mishnah says in the beginning of Krisos. It's one of the 36 times in the Torah where willful violation of the Isser of Shabbos results in karetz. A person will be spiritually cut off if he intentionally violates the Shabbos. If there are witnesses and there's a warning that the person should not violate the Shabbos and he defies a warning and he violates the malacha, so then it is a capital crime with a capital punishment. And the capital punishment that's meted out is skila. So for intentional violation of Shabbos, it would be karis and it would be skila. Karis without a warning, skila with a warning. And then if a person unintentionally violates the Shabbos, now when I say unintentionally, so this is the kind of conversation and discussion we're going to be having over the course of the seventh parak. But right now we're talking about shogeg. Now shogeg means that the person was not totally unaware of what he was doing. In fact, by shogeg, you know exactly what you were doing. You just didn't know the circumstances that surrounded the action in which you were doing. Let's say, for example, you wake up in the morning thinking it was Sunday morning. Whatever, you got disoriented, you got a little groggy. You woke up thinking it's Sunday morning and you violated all the things that you knew were malachos, but you just simply forgot that today was Shabbos. That's an example of shogeg. Shogeg means that you should have been much more careful and much more aware of the circumstances that were going on around you. And in the case of shogeg, so we learned back in Masechta Krisos, and now we get to revisit this topic again, that if a person was a shogeg, the person was unaware, inadvertent in terms of the violation of Shabbos, so he has to bring a karban chatas. How many karban chatas does a person need to bring? That's going to be the topic of our Mishnah. We're going to be discussing the total number of karban chatas that a person needs to bring. Again, let's just remind ourselves in terms of basic information. In order to bring a karban chatas, so the person has to have the following. He has to have known about the Isser. He has to have lapsed into some sort of unawareness. That's what's called halama. He then violates the Isser while in the state of halama. And then he goes back to know again, and remember that he just violated the Isser of the Torah. A karban chatas is going to be brought only under the circumstances where the Isser is an Isser Karetz. So the 36 Isurim that are mentioned in the beginning of Masechta Krisos, Shabbos being one of them, is now going to be subject and liable to bringing the karban chatas if it was violated inadvertently. Okay, This is all the most basic rules as it relates to Chilul Shabbos in terms of Onshim. We're going to be focusing on this morning the Karban Chatas that is brought for Shabbos, and now we have three categories in the Mishnah, and let's start the Mishnah again. Klal Gadol Amar Amru B'Shabbos. So they said a big rule, a general rule as it relates to Shabbos. Number one, Kol Shochech Iker Shabbos. Let's say the person forgot about Shabbos altogether, meaning that the halama over here, the state of unawareness, results in the fact that he totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos. Va'asa Malachos Harbe B'Shabbos Harbe. And this person violated multiple malachos on multiple Shabbosos. Einu chayiv ala chatas achas. He's only going to be chayiv one karban chatas. Meaning at the core of his mistake is the fact that he totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos. Now, admittedly, that's hard to imagine. Meaning we as human beings are very forgetful, and we forget things all the time. But the idea that a person is going to forget the entire concept of Shabbos, it sounds a little bit strange, but nevertheless, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. If at the core of his alama is that he forgot about the concept of Shabbos, so it doesn't matter how many Shabbosim now he went through and violated, and how many separate malachos within those Shabbosim he went through and violated, nevertheless, since the core of his halama is that he forgot about the concept of Shabbos, so then when all said and done, and when he finally comes to, he's only going to have to bring one karban chatas. That's category number one. Category number two of the Mishnah, Hayodeh Iker Shabbos, V'asa Malachos Harbe V'Shabbosos Harbe, Chayva Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos. In category number two, he is totally aware about the concept of Shabbos, but he violated multiple Malachos on multiple Shabbosos. So now he's going to be subject to bringing Karban Chatos for every Shabbos that he went by, regardless of how many Malachos he violated on those Shabbosim. Now over here, what are we saying? We're saying that he knows about the concept of Shabbos. It's just that as the week came to an end and he woke up on Shabbos morning, he forgot that today was Shabbos. He just simply forgot that it was Shabbos. He knows about the concept of Shabbos. He just simply forgot that today itself was Shabbos. So really at the core of his mistake right now is that he forgot that this particular day was Shabbos. He knows about the concept. He just forgot about this particular day. Fine. And that cycle repeats itself week after week. So let's say in four consecutive weeks he forgets about that particular day is Shabbos. So now in terms of ringing him up for Karban Chatas, he's got to bring now one Karban Chatas for each Shabbos. And the Chiddush over here in this Mishnah is that despite the fact that on each Shabbos he violated multiple Malachos, nevertheless he's only going to be chayav one Karban Chatas for each of the Shabbosos. The obvious issue that needs to be dealt with is why. Meaning, if ultimately when all said and done is that he forgot that today was Shabbos, and then the next Shabbos rolls around and he forgot that day is Shabbos, so why do you have to bring a chatos for every Shabbos? Can't we just simply argue that it's really at its core one mistake, one halama that he forgot it was Shabbos? What exactly is breaking up every Shabbos where you're going to be bringing a carbon chatos for each and every Shabbos? Rashi over here writes the following. You can see Rashi and the second wide line. Rashi did Ramas Chachayva Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos Chatzas Achas Kol Shabbos Ve'afa Pi Shelo Noda Lo Beintayim. And Rashi says, and let's say nobody tapped him on the shoulder between the two Shabbosim and said to him, hey, you know that just a couple days ago was Shabbos. And even if nobody reminded him of that, and Rashi continues, Ve'afa Pi Shelo Noda Lo Beintayim Behelam Echad Hu. Amrin, and here's what we're going to say. Yamim Shabbatayin Havi Yediyah L'Chalek. The days that are in between one Shabbos and the next Shabbos are going to divide those Shabbosim. She'i Efshar Shaloshama Beintayim She'oso Yom Havi Shabbos. Rashi offers the following argument. It's just simply impossible. Meaning, if you're living in this world, if you're living in an environment, in a community where there is Shabbos is a reality of life, so it's impossible that between one Shabbos and the next Shabbos, you didn't hear about the fact that a couple days ago was in fact Shabbos. So Rashi is just simply arguing that there has to be, it just can't be, that you're going to go the whole week without having heard that you missed last Shabbos. That's the way Rashi posits. And as a result of that, you're now going to be bringing a Karban Chatos for each and every Shabbos. This position of Rashi is built on a svar, it's built on an argument. You can see the Tosfos over here, the one Tosfos that exists on the Samud, where he takes issue with this Rashi. And if you take a look at the bottom of the Tosfos, toward the bottom of the Tosfos, he does not make this as an argument. He just simply says it as a rule. And I'm just going to read the an excerpt from the Tosfos. The Tosfos writes, Hachinami Gabi Shabbos. It is about 10 lines from the bottom of this Tosfos. Hachinami Gabi Shabbos, Afa Pishalo Shami Yemei Heter Shemin Tayim. Tosfos says, even if you didn't hear about it, still, the Shabbosim are going to be divided one from the other. Because part of the Gzeiros HaKosav is that each Shabbos becomes an independent entity. And so therefore, as you go 1, 2, 3, 4 Shabbosim in a row, having forgotten that that day was Shabbos, so even if nobody tapped you on the shoulder and reminded you, still, each and every Shabbos is Gzeiros HaKosav as a rule. Not based on the argument that Rashi says. But as a rule, each day is an independent entity, and therefore you're going to be chayav for each and every Shabbos. Fine. Back to our Gemara. We are now up to category number 3. Category number 3 in the Mishnah, last line on the Amud. Yedeshu Shabbos v'asam malachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe chayav akol av malacha u'malacha. Let's say you're fully aware about the fact that it's Shabbos. And on every one of the Shabbosim, you violate multiple malachos. So in doing so, says the Mishnah, you're going to be chayiv on every malacha in of themselves. Meaning, this is the idea that we're going to be expressing a number of times throughout this perek, and that is that the malachos themselves are divided, a chatas per malacha. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that, let's say you wake up in the morning knowing that it's Shabbos, and you just forgot about certain malachos. Certain malachos you learned, you knew about, but you forgot about it. And then you violated numerous malachos, you're going to be chayav a karban chatas for every one of the malachos that you violated. And the Mishnah goes on to say, let's say a person violated multiple malachos within a malacha, you're only going to be chayav one karban chatas. And what the Mishnah means over here in this, at the end of the Mishnah, is basically the concept of tolados, of subcategories. I mean, the idea that we've expressed already numerous times throughout Shas, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, the Gemara there discussed this extensively, the idea that on Shabbos you have 39 avos malachos, you have 39 main categories, and within each category you have subcategories, those subcategories are called tolados. And in terms of this organization, the structure of 39 main malachos followed then by each malacha having subcategories, parenthetically, the Gemara Bavli never tells us how many subcategories there are within every malacha. The simplest way to say it would be is that some malachos, some avos, have many tolados and some have fewer. It's just simply a question of the nature of the av and just a question of how many does it branch into. There is an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that each one of the avos malachos has in of itself 39 tolados. Okay, 39 squared would be the way to phrase the Yerushalmi. But anyway, close parentheses. So we have this idea now that the importance of this categorization of the structure is so that if a person violates on Shabbos an Av and many of its tolados, many of its subcategories, you're only going to be chayav one karban chatas for violating an Av and its tolada. Ad kan divrei Mishnah, that's the end of the Mishnah. So just simply to summarize, now in the Mishnah we have three different scenarios. A person is going to be chayav a karban chatas once. A person is going to be chayav a karban chatas for every Shabbos. A person is going to be chayav a karban chatas for every malacha. In scenario number one of the Mishnah, the person forgot about Shabbos in total. He forgot about the entire concept of Shabbos. And then regardless, irrespective of how many Shabbos he violates, how many malachas he violates, when all said and done, when he comes to, he's only going to be chayav one karban chatas. The second case of the Mishnah is that a person is totally aware of the concept of Shabbos. He just simply forgets as each day passes by that he just missed a Shabbos. He just missed it. He missed the day. And he does that repeatedly. So then he's going to be chayav a karban chatas for every Shabbos that he missed. And it's irrespective, it's regardless of how many malachas he actually violated. And finally, if a person violated Shabbos having known the concept of Shabbos, having known that today was Shabbos, he just forgot about various malachos, so then he's going to be chayav to bring a karban chatas for every malacha that he violated. That is the Mishnah. The first half of today's Amud we're going to be spending discussing the word klal gadol. The Mishnah opens up with saying that this is a big rule. Now, in of itself, the Mishnah is telling us that this is a general principle, an overarching principle as it relates to Shabbos. But the Mishnah does not waste words. The Mishnah using the word klal gadol. The word gadol over here, obviously an adjective, but what is the point? What's the necessity of the adjective? So here we are with the Gemara. This is the first half of today's daf. A little bit less, but we're going to be discussing what the word gadol means. My tana klal gadol. So why is the Mishnah using the word klal gadol? Ile me mishum dekabay lemisne od klal acher, tana klal gadol. So the Gemara says, well, let me make the following offering. We're going to see later in our perek that the Mishnah uses the word klal. And so, as a contrast between the first klal of our perek here in Shabbos, and then one that's coming up later on, so our Mishnah using the word klal gadol just simply as a way of contrasting. And the Gemara says, v'gabi shvias nami, mishum dekabay lemisne od klal acher tana klal gadol. And the Gemara says, and you'll notice that in Masechta Shvias, there is also this construct. By the way, oddly, in Shvias, it's also the seventh perek of Shvias as well. So in Mishnah Shvias, so you see that the Mishnah over there opens up with the word klal gadol, and you'll notice later, subsequently, in that perek in Mishnayos and Shviyas, there is another Mishnah that also uses the word klal. And so therefore, the klal gadol could just simply be in contrast to the next rule that comes up as well. The Gemara says, v'haga b'maisa diktani klal acher, v'lo tini klal gadol. So the Gemara says, but if I'm following carefully this pattern, I'll see that this pattern is not perfect. Because in the Mishnayos, in Maisros, so we also have this idea where the Mishnah over there has multiple klalos, multiple rules, principles, and the Mishnah over there doesn't use the word klal gadol. So if the whole reason is because there are multiple klalos that are given, and klal gadol is just simply there as a contrast for the next klal that comes up, so that's good in Masechta Shabbos, it's good in Masechta Shvias, but it's not true in Masechta Masros. So I'm Rav Yossi bar Avin Shabbos v'Shvias Dispu Avos v'Tolados Tana Gadol, Maisa Deleis Be Avos v'Tolados Lo Tana Klal Gadol. So the Gemara offers a second suggestion in terms of why it is that our Mishnah uses the word klal gadol. It's because by Shabbos you have the concept, the principles of avos and tolados. So therefore we use the word klal gadol. And the same thing is true regarding Shemitah as well. In Shemitah, during the Shemitah year, so we have the avos. Those are the general prohibited activities that one cannot do in the field. Rashi over here gives us a list of avos, the main prohibitions that apply during the Shemitah year. Rashi, Divra Amaschol, Isbe Avos. So Rashi says, I'll read the Rashi. Arbim Chasar Achas Yisruchol Mishkan, V'Talados Adamos Achol Achas, have a Taladi Didei. So by Shabbos you have the main category and then you have the subcategories. Avos de Shviis. Now in terms of what are the main categories of Shemitah, Rashi writes, Zriya, Kitzira, Zemira, Ubitzira. The planting, the harvesting, the pruning, and Betzira is another form of pruning. Diksiva, where those activities are actually listed in the Torah. And Tolado Shara Avodah Shebesad V'Kerem. And in terms of the subcategories, all other types of works that improve the land. So that says Tosos is, I'm sorry, that says Rashi, is the classification, the categorization of Avos and Tolados as it relates to Shemitah. Parenthetically, by the way, interesting that Rashi does not add to the list choresh, plowing, which is interesting because the Torah does include that as one of the activities that one is not allowed to do during the Shemitah year. Anyway, the Gemara now is suggesting that we have avos and tolados by Shabbos, we have it by Shemitah, but we do not have it by Maaser. There is no concept, there's no principle of avos and tolados as it relates to Maaser, and that may be the explanation of why our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Shvias uses the words klal gadol, and it's not used in Maaser. And at this point in time, we have now a working explanation. However, the Gemara points out, ula bar kapara. What about, according to the Shita of bar kapara, didni klal gadol be Maaser? My avos and my tolados ika. Now, it happens to be that bar kapara, when he has his girsa, his nusach of the Mishnah Maaseros, he actually has the words klal gadol. Now, for him, this now becomes a problem. Although we gave a wonderful solution, but based on his girsa, so we have a problem because now the word klal gadol is used both in Shabbos, Shvias, and in Maaser. So, el alav hainatam gadol, on shosho Shabbos yosem mishal Shvias. So, the Gemara now is going to be going down a different route altogether. A new and different explanation in terms of why our Mishnah uses the word klal gadol. And what the Gemara is basically going to answer, I'll say it out first and then we'll read it inside, is that klal gadol means, gadol over here means greater than. meaning that when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is an Isser that's greater than. And then when it comes to Shviyas, the word Klal Gadol means greater than. So the mathematical sign now that we're putting in is that Gadol just simply means that we're comparing Shabbos to something else. And we're comparing Shviyas to something else. Now, what is it relative to? So that's what the Gemara now is going to explain. So the Gemara says, I'm going to read again, Mayavos Maitolazika, Ella. Lav hainu taima gadol on shoshosh Shabbos yosem mishal Shviyas. So here in Masechta Shabbos, when the Mishnah is using the word Klal Gadol, what the Mishnah said, means to say is that Shabbos is greater than Shviyas. Why is that? De'ilu Shabbos isa bein betalash bein mechubar, because when it comes to the Isser of Shabbos, it applies to grains and produce that are both connected and disconnected from the ground. We know that when it comes to Shabbos, there are many Isurim that apply to the things that are connected to the ground. And at the same time, if they're taken off of the ground or they're detached from the ground, there still are many malachas that apply to them as well. Rashi says the malachas of tochin and lush, grinding and kneading, obviously they apply to the wheat after it's been detached from the ground. Now when it comes to the Isser Shviyas, the only thing that has Kedusha Shviyas are those produce that are attached to the land as the Shemitah year comes in. Any produce that was detached before the Shemitah year has come in is simply not going to have Kedusha Shviyas. It's not going to be subject to the Shemitah prohibition. So you see that Shabbos is more encompassing than Shviyas, because Shabbos applies to produce that's attached and detached. Shemitah, on the other hand, only applies to produce which is attached to the ground. Now, as we see the words Klal Gadol present itself in the Masechta of Shemitah, of Shviyas, so what we're saying is that it is relatively, qualitatively greater than Meiser. Why? Because when it has, when it comes to the Isser Shviyas and Kedusha Shviyas, it applies both to food that's consumed by humans as well as food that's consumed by animals. But when it comes to Meiser, it only applies to produce that was specified for human consumption and not for produce which is specified for animal consumption. Now, we have given this new approach. The Gemara says it happens to be, this new approach is going to help even Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara, who had the girsa of Klal Gadol as it relates to Meiser. So how is he going to understand it? Gadol onsho shal Meiser yosem mishal peya. So what he'll say is that Meiser is greater than. Greater than what? Greater than the mitzvah or the iser of peya. We know that as part of the produce halachas, so a corner of the field has to be sectioned off for the poor people. This is the mitzvah of peya. And we're saying now that Meiser is greater than peya. In what way is Meiser greater than peya? The ilu Meiser is a betain of a yerek. Because when it comes to Meiser, Meiser applies to figs and vegetables. According to Rashi, according to Tosos, this is a din derabanan, and this is not a din daraisa. And still, the point that the Gemara is making is that at least rabbinically, there's more coverage of the mitzvah of Meiser, of the halachas of Meiser. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah of peya, it doesn't apply to figs, it doesn't apply to vegetables. Now, how do I know that this is so? So we're going to be learning a couple of mishnayos just to make this point. Did not we learned in a mishnah in peya, one of the first mishnayos in Masechta Peya, Klal Amru Bepeya, the following general rule is said as it relates to Peya. And you'll notice, of course, that doesn't say Klal Gadol. Klal Amru Bepeya Kol Shehu. Anything which is Ochel, it has to be edible, meaning it's not, obviously it applies to produce. But the produce has to be, and there are five qualifications. It has to be Ochel, it has to be edible. V'nishmar, and it has to be guarded. V'gidulam in ha'aretz, and it has to grow from the ground. V'lekitasu ka'achas, it has to be harvested at the same time. U'machnisa lekiyum. And it has to be preserved. Chayav bepeya. If it meets all five of these criteria, then and only then is it going to be subject to peya. And let's explain each one of them. The Gemara is going to do so right now. Ochel mutis v'chesitim v'kutsa. So as it relates to food, what does that mean? It means that let's say that there's a certain produce that's harvested, but its primary purpose is not to be eaten, but it's used for dyes. So that is not going to be subject to the peya requirement. Nishmar, it has to be, nishmar, what does that mean? Lamute hefker. It means that it has to be owned by somebody. If, however, if it was left ownerless, if it was left hefker, so then it's not going to be subject to the pay requirement. Gidula min haaretz has to grow from the ground. Lamote kameim patrios. And that excludes mushrooms. The Gemara constantly views mushrooms as something which does not grow from the ground. It grows on rocks. It's a fungus. And so the way the Gemara expresses it is that it does not get its yinika, it does not get its nourishment from the ground. And as far as being harvested all at the same time, it must mean that the way, the nature that this particular crop grows is that it's all ready to be harvested at the same time, as opposed to a fig tree, where there you harvest a little bit at one time, a little bit another time, and so therefore the figs do not have this criteria of likitaso ka'achas. U'machniso l'kiyam l'mute yerek. Now, when it says that it preserves, it means that after I pluck it out of the ground, it's going to last for a while. You pick an orange off a tree, it'll last for a while, same thing with a grape. As opposed to a vegetable that you pluck off the ground, so there the vegetables have almost no lasting power. We have the modern innovation called the refrigerator, so we get to keep our vegetables for a little bit longer, but nevertheless, it really does not last that long. And so therefore, it's not going to be subject to the pay requirement. So, for Peah, in order for a produce to be subject to the Peah, it has to match five criteria, which means then that the total number of produce that is going to be subject to Peah is going to be smaller in number because there are so many more requirements. The Ilugab and Meiser, now as it relates to Meiser, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Klal Amr ben Meiser, as a general rule regarding Meiser, and that's called Shu Ochel Venishma, Gidulo Min Ha'aretz Chai ben Meiser, only needs three requirements in order to be Chai ben Meiser. It has to be something which is designated as food, and it has to be something which is owned, and it has to grow from the ground. That's it. So that means that then many more of the produce is going to be subject to Meiser. The ilo likitasu ka'achas or machnis l'kiyam lo tanan. These requirements of that it is harvested at the same time and it has to preserve are not mentioned by Meiser, and so you see that Meiser is greater than Peah. And let's just quickly recap the first half of today's daf. Within the first half, we have learned together that the basic rules regarding Shabbos, the three categories of when your person is going to be chayav karban chatos. And then the Gemara's discussion that we just went through in terms of why is the Mishnah using the language of Klal Gadol, this is a big rule. The Gemara gave a couple of suggestions, more than a couple, but the suggestion that the Gemara landed on is that our Mishnah over here is making a relativistic statement regarding Shabbos being more severe, more stringent than Shviyas. Klal Gadol that's mentioned by Shviyas tells us that Shviyas is going to be more encompassing, it's going to be greater than Meiser. And according to Bar Kapara, Meiser is going to be greater than the halachas of Peah. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. And now, we continue. We're at the two daf towards the bottom of Samachesam and Aleph. Rabu Shmuel Darmi Tavayu. Okay, and now, let's go back to our Mishnah. And let's revisit the first category of our Mishnah. First category of our Mishnah is where a person violated many malachos on many different Shabbosim. And he's going to be chayv only one karban chatas. Now, the simplest way to read the Mishnah, which is the way that we did when we first read the Mishnah, is called a Shocheach Iker Shabbos. What does that mean? It means that he got some sort of education, and his memory just went on him. It lapsed. He totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos, and in the course of this forgetting, he violated many Shabbos and many Malachos. That's the simplest way to read the Mishnah. That's how we read it. Let's see the Gemara now as it revisits this first category of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Damri Tavayim. Both Rabbi Shmuel say the following in terms of pshat in our Mishnah. Masnisim betinuk shenishma lebein ha-nachrim. V'gershin izgar lebein ha-nachrim. The Mishnah's scenario is one in which you had a baby that was taken captive and in this captivity was raised, given no education whatsoever regarding Shabbos. Or, alternatively, the Mishnah is describing somebody who converted, living amongst the non-Jews, converted, and once again, had no idea about Shabbos. The second illustration of Rav and Shmuel is obviously a little bit challenging, a little bit difficult. This Beis Din that's converting this guy and not informing him about Shabbos wouldn't exactly describe this Beis Din as the most responsible of Bati Dinim, but nevertheless, right, without getting snagged on the practicals, the bottom Tosfos touches on this point just very briefly. But nevertheless, the point is that the Mishnah scenario is one in which The person never knew about Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? And the Gemara spells out now the deduction. Aval hikir ulevesov shachach chayv akol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That means then that according to Rav Shmuel, if the person, let's say, historically knew about Shabbos and then forgot about Shabbos, forgot altogether about Shabbos, and violated multiple Shabbosim, he's going to be chayv karban chatos for each and every Shabbos. That's what Rav Shmuel is saying. The only time that a person is going to be chayv one karban chatos for multiple Shabbos violations is if that person never historically knew about Shabbos. The Gemara says, is that right? Are they right? Tanan. First of all, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah aside. Hashochech ikar Shabbos. The Mishnah says he forgot. Now, what does that by definition must mean? That he knew about it and then he forgot. So, lav mechlal dehavi leyidia mikara. That's obviously what the Mishnah meant. He knew before and then he forgot. This does not seem to go in accordance with Rav Shmuel. So, the Gemara tries to defend this position in Rav Shmuel. Lo, maikol hashochech ikar Shabbos, daisa shachuach mimenu ikara shal Shabbos. You could read the Mishnah to mean shachuach mimenu, meaning it was forgotten from him, meaning he never was even introduced to the idea of Shabbos. You could read the Mishnah that way. Admittedly, that's a difficult way to read the Mishnah, but right now we are trying to defend Rav Shmuel. Aval hikol v'sof shachach mai. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, now we're going to go with the implication. This person knew about Shabbos and then forgot about Shabbos altogether, so then you're telling me chayav akol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So then he'd be chayav for every Shabbos. If that's right, then what's the problem? If you think about it a little bit, you realize, wait a second, that's the second category of the Mishnah. Well, in the second category of the Mishnah, what was the case that was given in the Mishnah? He knows about Shabbos, he just forgot that this day was Shabbos. And now what the Gemara is going to ask is, when we're getting now to that second category of the Mishnah, instead of giving the example that the Mishnah gave us, why don't we go with this particular example? The person knew about Shabbos, and he forgot altogether about Shabbos. Adni, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Before the Mishnah gives its example of a Yodei Iker Shabbos Vasa Malachos Harbe B'Shabbos Vasa Harbe Chayva Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos, before giving the example that was given in the Mishnah, Lisni Hikir L'Sof Shachach V'Kol Shekein Ha. Why doesn't the Mishnah give a better example, meaning according to Rav Shmuel, the person knew about Shabbos, forgot altogether about Shabbos, violated multiple Shabbosim, that's a bigger chiddush. That would have been much better for the Mishnah to give us that illustration. And it certainly sounds like, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah didn't give us that illustration, that example, sounds like the Mishnah does not agree to that. Again, the Gemara is going to reread the Mishnah in defense of Rav Shmuel. Mai hayodei ikar Shabbos, mishaya yadua ikara shal Shabbos v'shichacha. So the Gemara says, well, when reading category number two, this is how we're going to read it now. When the Mishnah says Hayodea Iker Shabbos, what the Mishnah means to say is that he knew about Shabbos and he forgot about it altogether. Meaning we're reading this into the second case of the Mishnah. Again, I'll point out, it's not the easiest reading of the Mishnah, but nevertheless, we're right now trying to defend Rav Shmuel. Aval, lo shichacha mai, chayev akol malacha umalacha. Now the Gemara says, now let's go with the implication of that. Meaning, if we're reading the second category of the Mishnah, as to the person who forgot altogether about Shabbos, now let's go to the next case in the Mishnah, and that is, before we get to that, let's go now with the implication. The implication would be, is that if we have this person over here, who has totally remembered the concept of Shabbos, and then violated multiple Shabbosim, the implication would now be, is that he's going to be chayav for every malacha that he violated on every Shabbos. So adni. Now the Gemara says, if that's true, we are now in the Amud Bey, second line down. Now as the Mishnah gets to category number three, the Mishnah gave the example where he remembers it was Shabbos, he forgot about malachas. Why don't we give now the bigger chiddush? Listening, why doesn't the Mishnah tell us Hayodei Iker Shabbos v'chol shekein ha? Why don't we give the example of the person knows about Shabbos, and the person knows about Shabbos, he just simply forgot about each Shabbos individually. He forgot that as he approached each and every Shabbos that today is Shabbos. So then, based on the implication of Rav Shmuel, he'd be chayav in every single malacha. That would have been a bigger chiddush, rather than the case of the Mishnah, where he remembered Shabbos, he just forgot about the malachas. So, basically, what just happened in the Gemara is that if you're going to read the Mishnah the way Rabbi Shmuel read it, the first case of the Mishnah is where he didn't know about Shabbos altogether. He never even learned about Shabbos one time. Second category of the Mishnah is that he learned about Shabbos, but he forgot about it altogether. Third category of the Mishnah would be that he learned about Shabbos and he remembered about Ikar Shabbos. He just forgot that today was Shabbos. That would be the three categories of the Mishnah based on Rav and Shmuel. But what the Gemara now is pointing out is that if you're doing so, then why is the Mishnah giving us the examples in which it gives us? It should be giving us the examples that Rav and Shmuel gave us, which would have been bigger chidushim. So the Gemara says, so really when all said and done, it is a difficult way to read the Mishnah. And so the Gemara says, so we're going to go back and we're going to go all the way back to the first step of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to read the Mishnah, kipshuto, the way it's simply read, the way we originally read it. And now, as far as Rav and Shmuel are concerned, it'll go as follows. And as far as Rav and Shmuel is concerned, they're not interpreting the Mishnah, they're adding to the Mishnah. Meaning, let's say it now as follows. In the first case of the Mishnah's case is the person learned about Shabbos and forgot altogether the concept of Shabbos. Under those circumstances, when that person violates many Shabbosos multiple times, he's going to be chayv one carbon chatas. That's the way to read the Mishnah. That's the easiest way to read the Mishnah. That's the correct way to read the Mishnah. What Rav and Shmuel now are doing is that they're adding an example to the first category. Not only in the case that we just stated are you going to be chayv one carbon chatas for multiple Shabbos violations, but according to Rav and Shmuel, you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas even if you never learned about Shabbos. The person who never learned about Shabbos and violated many Shabbosos on many occasions, so finally when he does learn about Shabbos, he's going to have to bring one carbon chatas. They're adding that to the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Elamas Nisan, sorry, I'm going to reread it again. Elamas Nisan kishihikol v'sof shachach, hud Rabbi Shmuel nami kihikol v'sof shachach dami. V'hachi itmar Rabbi Shmuel dami tavayu. And this is what they are saying. Afilu tinek shenishba ben anachriyim, even if the child was taken into captivity, raised in a non-Jewish environment, v'girshin es gayer lebein anachriyim, and you have a convert who converted amongst the non-Jews, kihikir uvesov shachach dami v'chayev. They are equivalent to the person who knew about Shabbos, forgot about the concept of Shabbos in total, and that person is going to be chayv a carbon chatzos when all said and done. So too is the person who never even learned about the concept of Shabbos. Now, if you think about it, good. This is now our final understanding of Rav and Shmuel in terms of their position, in terms of how they're going to read the Mishnah. Good. If you think about the position of Rav and Shmuel, here is the part which is unbelievably striking. And that is that we certainly understand that the person who learned about Shabbos and then forgot about Shabbos, so there is a sense of responsibility. Meaning that person who knew about Shabbos and he lapsed into an unawareness. And as we said in the beginning of Shir today, lapsing into unawareness is not it's not an onus. It's not something that was beyond your control. And meaning the person was not focused. He didn't review. He has a certain responsibility, has a certain liability, a culpability, which results in him having to bring a carbon chatas. What Rav and Shmuel are saying is the following. Even for the person who has no background, who has no education, for that person, he shares that kind of liability. Now, I'm going to be very careful in the way I'm saying it, obviously. It does not mean that he's chayv skila and chayv karet, none of that. We are just discussing in the realm, in the world of a carbon chatas. In the realm of a carbon chatas, Rav and Shmuel say that the person who had no background had the same level of responsibility as the person who did have a background but allowed himself simply to forget. And it speaks to the idea that according to Rav and Shmuel, what is that culpability based on? It's based on the fact that we have a responsibility, we have an obligation to learn. Meaning it's not just simply enough to come into this earth and say, look, I didn't know, nobody told me. There is an onus, there is a responsibility, there's an obligation for that person to have learned. By virtue of the fact that he neglected his responsibility to learn, so Rav and Shmuel put him on the same platform, on the same pedestal as the person who did learn and forgot. That is a really striking way to see Rav and Shmuel, but I'm not saying anything that is profound. That's a simple reading of Rav and Shmuel. That's what they're saying. What we have now in the Gemara is the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, which is that if a person never learned about Shabbos, never grew up in an environment where he was taught about Shabbos, so for that person who violated many Shabbosos and many Malachos, when all said and done, when he finally learns about Shabbos, he's going to bring one Karban Chatas. On the other side of this is going to be Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we're going to see right now. Continuing in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Amri Tavayu, Dafke Hikal V'Sof Shachach. They too will read the Mishnah in its simple reading, which is that the Mishnah says that the person is going to be chayv one carbon chatas is when historically he learned about Shabbos, and then he totally forgot in total the concept of Shabbos, and he violated many Shabbosim and many Malachos. Okay, like the way we said, but here is now where Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are going to drastically depart from the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Aval tinok shenishma ben anachrim. The Gershon is Garla ben Anachrim Pater. For the one who was taken into captivity, or the one who converted amongst non-Jews, for the person who never learned about Shabbos, that person is not going to be chayv a karban chatzos when eventually he does know, when he does learn about Shabbos. They fundamentally disagree. Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside Pater, de Kasabri Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Omer Mutter Anusu, because he didn't know that it was prohibited. This falls under the category in halacha as Omer Mutter. And we're going to file this, as it says Rashi, in explanation of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, under the category of Onis. Onis Rachmana Patre. When a person does something that was totally against his own wishes, when he was forced and compelled to do something, so in halacha we describe that as Onis. Under the circumstances as Onis, you don't have liability. Now, by Nezikin, by the way, just I'm saying this parenthetically, by Nezikin, there is a very serious discussion amongst the Rishonim whether that's true regarding Nezek and your obligation to pay for damages that are done under the circumstances of Ones. But we're not talking about Nezek right now. We're talking about Isurim, close parentheses. And so therefore, this doesn't fall under the category of Shogeg. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, this person is not going to be Chayv a Karban Chatas. So we have over here a really fundamental disagreement between the Shitas of Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Shmuel, for the person who never learned about Shabbos, he still has liability and responsibility to bring a Karban Chatzos when he does learn. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, no. For that person, he does not have a liability to bring a Karban Chatzos. It's only for the person who knew about Shabbos and forgot about Shabbos in total. Perhaps, if I can just suggest, perhaps, what is really behind the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is the way to look at, to view the Karban Chatzos. Meaning the Karban Chatzos is there to do what? So it's there to be mechaper. It's there to atone for the sin that you did. It's a way of expunging any traces of avera that was done. Or the Karban Chatzos is more along the lines of an onish. It's more along the lines of a punishment, like makos and like misa. Obviously, the first way to say it is a much easier way to say it, meaning generally speaking, when we talk about a carbon is mechaper. But perhaps this is the division between Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Whereas according to Rav and Shmuel, for the person who never learned about it, so can you really punish that individual? There's no room for punishment. He never learned. So for them, they're really focusing on the idea that the carbon chatzos is there as more of a kapara. It's there as an atonement. How many Shabbosim did they violate? Again, they didn't know any better, but how many Shabbosim did they violate? Right? And the record is dirty, and they want kapar and they want atonement, so they're focusing on the Karban Chatzos being more of a mechaper. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, so they're seeing it more like an onish, that the carbon's more like an onish. And as a result of that, you only punish somebody who does something either intentionally or inadvertently. This is neither of the two. The person never even knew that Shabbos was a concept. So there's no room for onish over there. Perhaps I'm suggesting that this is a way to understand the machlokes between these Amorim. Anyway, continuing in the Gemara Meisvei, and the Gemara now is going to be challenging because we have now two opinions amongst the four Amorim, but two opinions amongst the Amorim for the person who never knew about Shabbos, violated multiple Shabbosim. Is he going to be chayv karban chatas? The Gemara is going to be challenging based on the following brisa. Klal gadol amru b'Shabbos. Now, I know the brisa sounds a lot like our Mishnah. That's, of course, what happens. The brisas are variant misaras of our Mishnah. either given to us by Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yoshia, or even even other braces as well. Anyway, Klagado Amr b'Shabbos, Kol Shochech Iker Shabbos V'Asam Alachos Harbe b'Shabbos Harbe. Einu Chayiv Ela Achas. Fine. So anyone who has forgotten Shabbos in total and violated many malachos and many shabbosos, so he's only going to be, when all said and done, chayv one carbon chatos. Good, just like our Mishnah. But now watch as the Braisa goes and gives further explanation. Ketzad, how would this play out? Tinuk shenishba lebein anachrim v'gershin iskari bein anachrim v'asam malachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe. Einu chayv ela chatos achas. So for the tinuk shenishba, for the child that was raised in captivity, or for the convert who converted amongst the non-Jews, so they never learned about Shabbos, so when all said and done, they're going to be chayv one carbon chatas. This brisa now is clearly in the camp of Rav and Shmuel. The brisa doesn't end, we are going to continue in the brisa. V'chayv al adam achas, v'al achelev achas, v'al avolazara achas. And also, for the consumption of blood, when he eats blood, again, having no idea that it's aser, and for the eating of chelev, and for violation of avodah zarah, he's going to be chayv one carbon chatos, even though these acts were violated multiple times. Umunbaz pater. Now the Tana, by the name of Munbaz, we don't see him that often. So he says, in all of the above examples, you're going to be pater. Munbaz fundamentally disagrees with the Tana Kama. For the person who does not know any of these isurim, he was never informed about them, he's going to be pater. And here the Braisa now is going to give us the dialogue. So here Munbaz is speaking to Rabbi Kiva, and he says, when a person intentionally violates the Torah describes him as being a chote. When a person unintentionally violates the Torah still refers to him as a chote. Rashi cites a pasuk in the end of Parshas Vayikra. Ma mezid shayisa lo yidia, af shogeg shayisa lo yidia. So just like by mezid, it means that you're only going to be liable for intentional violation if you knew about it prior. So the same thing is going to be true regarding shogeg. You're only going to be chayv a carbon chatas only if you historically knew about it. But if you never knew about it, i.e. you were raised in captivity, you were you converted amongst the non-Jews, so then for that person, there's not going to be a carbon chatas. Amalo Rabbi Akiva Arini Mosif Al Tverecha. Rabbi Akiva says, look, your argument, if you take your argument to the extreme, so here's what your argument is going to sound like. Oh, you know by mezid, so you know about the Isser while you were violating the Isser. Oh, by shogeg, oh, you know the Isser while you're violating the Isser. Meaning you're equating mezid and shogeg. So as long as you're taking the two and equating the two, so why don't we just simply say that just like by mezid, you have to know about it while violating, by shogeg, you have to know about it while you're violating. Now that's obviously an absurd conclusion, because the whole definition of shogeg is that while you were committing the avera, you inadvertently forgot about it while you were committing it. But according to you, Munbaz, by you equating the two, oh, you have to know about it during the shogeg. So Amar Lahein v'chol shekein shor safta. So Munbaz says, oh, that's great. I liked your addition. Amar lo, Rabbi Kiva says to him, l'dvarecha, ein zekar shogeg el mezid. Rabbi Kiva says, yeah, but that's no longer called shogeg. That's now called mezid. And that's it, meaning we are at the end of the dialogue, we're at the end of the braisa. And what Munbaz would respond, so we continue to be continued. But meanwhile, as we now just went through the entire braisa, what do we see together? Ketanim, Mia, Kesa, Tinok. So the braisa over here tells us, what exactly is the example of the first category of the Mishnah? Tinok Shanishba, like Rabbi Shmuel. Bishlam al Rabbi Shmuel Nicha, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, it works out beautifully. But El al Rabbi Yochan al Rabbi Shimon, Malakish Kasha. But it's difficult for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish because they're of the opinion that if I have a category, a case of Tinuk Shanishba, so that child, that adult, once he learns about Shabbos, is not going to be chayv at all. So Amr Lecha, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Mi'ika, Lo Mi'ika Munbaz, Depater, Ananda Amrinanka Munbaz. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish will say, look, in the Braisa, it was a debate between Rabbi Kiva and Munbaz. And Munbaz says for that individual, he's not going to be chayv a karmen chatas. Now, admittedly, in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva seems to have totally upended the argument of Munbaz, but at least there is a Shita of Munbaz, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish will tell you that we subscribe to the Shita of Munbaz. Let us quickly recap our morning. We opened up, we introduced ourselves to the seventh parak of Masechet Shabbos, Klal Gadol. Here in this parak, we are going to be learning the very basics and fundamentals regarding a malacha. We spent the first daf in this parak dedicating ourselves to the understanding of when a person would be chayv to bring a karban chatas for violating Shabbos. The Mishnah introduced us to three categories. Category number one is that even after multiple Shabbosos and multiple malachos, one karban chatas. Category number two is that you're going to be bringing a karban chatas for every Shabbos that was violated. And category number three is where the person is going to be chayv to bring a karban chatas for every malacha that he violated. We introduced ourselves to the idea this morning of avos and tolados, that on Shabbos there is a main category and a subcategory. That which I did not say at the beginning of Shir today, but at least in this review, we'll point out, and we'll discuss much more of this as we go through this parak. The main categories are the activities that were done in order to make the Mishkan, in order to set up the Mishkan. The tolada, the subcategory, is an action that has the same function. It looks the same as the Av, but it's just simply used in different contexts. And we'll discuss much more of this, but it's something I should have pointed out in the beginning of this year. So that is what we learned together in the Mishnah. We had two discussions today in the Gemara. The first discussion we had today in the Gemara is why the Mishnah uses the language of Klal Gadol. This is a big rule. And specifically why the Mishnah is using the adjective of Gadol over here. The Gemara gave a number of suggestions. The one suggestion that the Gemara seems to have landed on is this idea that we are speaking relativistic to Shabbos. Shabbos is greater than that of Shvius. And that's why Klal Gadol is used as it relates to Shabbos. Shvius is greater than that of Meiser. That's why by Shvius we use the word Klal Gadol. The Mishnah is over there in the seventh parak. And by Meiser, we don't have Klal Gadol. Now there is a Tana Bar Kapara, who in his Nuschaus, in his Girsa of the Mishnah and Meiser, he does have the word Klal Gadol. And the Gemara says that for him, Meiser is greater than that of Peah. That was our first discussion this morning. Our second discussion this morning is regarding what files under category number one. Rabban Shmuel says that what you can file under category number one is not only the person who learned about Shabbos and forgot in total about the concept of Shabbos, but according to Rabban Shmuel, even for the person who never learned about Shabbos, raised in captivity, converted amongst non-Jews, for that person, once he learns about Shabbos, according to Rabban Shmuel, they're going to be chayv a karban chatas as well, a single karban chatas for all the Shabbosim that they violated. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, on the other hand, fundamentally disagree. They say that the only one who files under category number one is the person who knew about Shabbos and then forgot about the entire concept of Shabbos. That person is going to be chayv a karban chatas, a single karban chatas when all said and done. But for the person who never knew, who never learned, so according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that person is not going to be chayv a karban altogether when eventually he does learn about Shabbos and learned about the many Shabbosim that he violated, albeit with no intention whatsoever. Comes out now the way the Gemara presented it after having learned the Braisa. This machlokus between Rav and Shmuel on one side, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other side, is also a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Munbas. And Rav and Shmuel now are aligned with Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are aligned with Munbas. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.